Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, we are going to talk about where this defense is at right now, not just as a Steeler defense, but in comparison to the rest of the NFL. You know, watching these games on Sunday, certainly watching the Sunday night game, even watching the game on Monday night, the Steeler defense, I got to be honest, may not be as bad as we think it is. Certainly not as bad as I think it is, at least in comparison to the rest of the league. I went out and looked at some of the advanced analytics and stats about this defense to just get a sense for statistically where is this defense right now. I think the answer to that question might surprise you. I also want to talk about Le'Veon Bell. Of course, this is the week where, you know, will he, won't he show up? There were reports previously that this is the week he would show up. Now we have a new report saying he probably won't. We'll talk about that today. And then, and we're going to talk about this all week, but I want to start the conversation that we're going to be having over the next couple weeks, which is, are the Steelers back? You know, the Steelers were 1-2-1 2 weeks ago. Again, they weren't dead and buried, but they were very close. And now we're 3-2-1 going into the bye week. And the question is, do we believe in this team now after two wins over the Falcons and over the Bengals? Or are we still taking a wait-and-see approach with this team? So we'll start that conversation today. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You can like the Facebook page or join the Facebook group, and you can find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. And let's start today with some news and notes. Le'Veon Bell did not show up to Monday's meetings as the Steelers wind down from that win over the Cincinnati Bengals. The Steelers had their meetings on Monday with no sign of Le'Veon Bell, so that the wait continues for when or if he will return. Remember, he had previously told ESPN that he would be returning in the week 7-8 timeframe. So right around now, again, as week 7 is the bye week, week 8, that game against the Cleveland Browns. So Le'Veon could show up any time in the next 2 weeks, although Monday made a lot of sense because, again, those meetings kind of winding down from Cincinnati, starting the preparation against Cleveland. Le'Veon needs to kind of get back in, understand where the team is right now, all of that. He did not. And again, as we talked about yesterday, the Steelers haven't heard from Le'Veon Bell. So there is no official word from the Steelers, or there is no official word from Le'Veon to the Steelers when he's coming back, which really doesn't make a lot of sense to me because, again, the holdout, you know, the holdout is on for Le'Veon, right? He got what he wanted, which is to hold out for many, many weeks now. We're going to be going on potentially half the season here, or, you know, 7 weeks at least if he comes back next week. So again, I don't understand why he's not more upfront with the Steelers about his intentions on when he's coming back, especially if he intends on coming back in the next week or so. But we now have a new report from Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and Adam Schefter of ESPN, both reporting that Le'Veon Bell is not expected to report this week. And so the players are off between Thursday and Sunday of this week. So the next time you can expect Le'Veon Bell to be at the Steeler facility could be Monday, October 22nd. And that'll be another day full of meetings as the Steelers begin preparation for the game against Cleveland. Again, from Le'Veon's perspective, I just don't understand where his head's at right now. If he's telling ESPN, you know, week 7-8, and I want to be back then, I want to win a Super Bowl with this team, I want to play for the Steelers, I miss football, all of that, I don't understand why he's not in communication with them at the very least. Again, he got his holdout. He got his holdout for as long as he wanted. And again, if that's 8 weeks is what he wanted or 7 weeks is what he wanted, then he got that. But I just don't understand, yeah, that this kind of being, I don't know if it's deceitful is the right word, but, you know, again, just this the lack of communication between the sides doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But we'll see. Again, as I said, Monday, October 22nd is the next time we're going to have this kind of will he show up type of report. Before we continue, I want to let you guys know about MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with, and that's why this season MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. I use it every Sunday. It's become a staple of my Saturday and Sunday, really. College football, NFL, you got the MyBookie mobile app open. You keep track of your teasers, parlays, straight up bets if you have them going. They have in-game live betting. You can even bet the over-under on fantasy points for a player. And they have the best player perks in the business. If you join right now, they're going to match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25. And if you wait until after 7 p.m., They're going to give you an additional $25 of free play if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25. Again, that's in addition to matching your deposit dollar for dollar. Just get an additional $25 just for waiting until after 7 p.m. and using that promo code LOCKEDON25. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you get that additional $25 of free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are parting ways with defensive coordinator Mike Smith after a brutal start to the season for the Buccaneers. Their defense has been among the worst in the league. They've given up 30-plus points in all games but one. The Eagles game that they won in Week 2, they gave up 21. But every other game, they've given up 30-plus points defensively. They have just been, they've been bad this year. No doubt about it. And so they fired their defensive coordinator. Got me thinking about the Steelers and, of course, Keith Butler. And I know there's been so much criticism of Butler this year. And again, I've done my fair share of criticism there. And I know a lot of Steeler fans are ready to move on from Keith Butler after this season. But it did make me think about where the Steelers rank defensively in the league right now. We've talked a lot about how this is a very offensive year, right? Offense rules the day in the NFL, and some of that has to do with the rule changes and some of that has to do with the better quarterback play and all of that. But again, this is a year full of offense, and every week it feels like this, the NFL is setting new records for points scored, first downs, yardage, all of that. And again, it seems like 2018 is going to be a record setter in a lot of ways. Even Ben Roethlisberger right now is almost on pace to set the single season passing mark. I think he's like 60 yards short right now, or he would be on pace to be 60 yards short of the single season passing mark for passing yards. Ben Roethlisberger is on pace for that. Again, it tells you kind of how offensive the league has been. But it did get me thinking about the Steeler defense and where it is right now. And I have a lot of respect for the guys over at Football Outsiders. They do a great job of taking the statistics of the game and kind of doing a better job than, you know, you take the yards per game and that doesn't tell the full story, right? Those kind of stats, yards per game, you know, average passing yards given up, all of that, that doesn't really tell the full story. And so what I love about Football Outsiders is that they take the game logs and they kind of break them up, and they've come up with this statistic called DVOA, which stands for Defense Adjusted Value Over Average. And I'm going to read their description over here if you're not familiar with it. DVOA measures a team's efficiency by comparing success on every play to a league average based on situation and opponent. So again, comparing how your team is doing both offensively, defensively, or both, and comparing that to the league average, right? How much better than the league average are you right now? How much worse than the league average are you right now? And I was very interested to see where the Steelers' defense fits in that statistic so far in the 2018 season. Unfortunately, as I'm recording this podcast, I don't have their updated DVOA rankings for Week 6. I have them as of Week 5. So this is after the Atlanta game. Although you have to imagine the Steelers' defense didn't play terribly on Sunday. This actually, their DVOA may get better as the DVOA for Week 6 comes out, but I have it as of Week 5. And I got to tell you, I was surprised to see this. The Steelers, according to Football Outsiders, in their DVOA are 16th in defensive DVOA, meaning that their defense is the average defense in the NFL right now. The Steelers defense this year, again, a defense that I feel like, and I've tried to go back and remember again, my frame of reference for Steelers starts in 1994. That's the first season that I can really remember the full season of. I can't remember a Steeler defense this bad, right? 2018 Steeler defense so far has been the worst Steeler defense that I've ever watched. But again, the Steelers have a storied history of great defense that goes back all the way to the Steel Curtain in the 70s. This is the worst defense I can remember, but they haven't had a lot of bad defenses. But to see the Steelers right now and how they're playing defensively, and that's the league average. I mean, again, it bears out. You know, you watch some of these games. I watched that Sunday night game between the Chiefs and Patriots. And again, there was no defense played in that game. There was one punt in that game. Watching the Monday night game against between the 49ers and Packers. And again, not a whole lot of defense in that one either. You watch a team like the Jaguars give up a ton of points. A team like the Browns, who I thought had a very good defense, and they gave up a ton of points to the Chargers. Really does. Yeah, you know, again, watching some of this around the league, I don't know that we're getting to a point where defense doesn't matter, but certainly we're getting to a place where defense is like unrecognizable. Right? Great defense is unrecognizable. There are very few truly good defenses in the NFL right now. I think Chicago, I think Baltimore, and that may be the list. I'm not sold on Jacksonville, certainly not sold on Cleveland after the performances that we've seen over the past couple weeks. But again, I think the more interesting stat here is that the Steelers right now, as bad as they are, and again, I don't think they're not playing well defensively. I think they're playing better. I think they're getting better at tackling. They're getting better as a secondary and communicating and not allowing the big play. Still disappointed in that last drive. They are getting better, though. But man, 16th so far, that's crazy to me. And it shows you kind of what's happening around the league. We talk so much about this. You know, we get so focused in on the Steelers on this podcast that we lose the context of the rest of the league. And again, according to Football Outsiders and their DVOA, as of week 5, the Steelers were an average defense in the NFL. And then the last thing I want to mention here in news and notes is Vontaze Burfict and the hit he had on Antonio Brown on Sunday. Very reminiscent of the hit he had in that divisional playoff game where he put a shoulder into AB's head, concussed AB on that play, and it caused Vontaze Burfict to be suspended for the next season. The NFL came out and said Vontaze Burfict will not be suspended for the hits he had on Sunday's game. And as I said, I thought Sunday's game between the Bengals and Steelers was largely clean outside of Vontaze Burfict. But man, you know, again, Vontaze Burfict, he's 2 games back from suspension. Now, this is his second game back from suspension, and he's out there headhunting again. And in the same fashion by which we saw him injure Antonio Brown needlessly in a playoff game 3 years ago, and for the NFL to come out and say, you know, they're not considering, or the reports are, I guess, I shouldn't say the NFL's come out and said. The reports are that the NFL is not considering suspension for that. You know, this guy has a history of this. This is the kind of thing that the NFL should be coming down on hardest, is guys going out there trying to injure players. You know, they talk about player safety and blows to the head and all of that. And when you have, you know, a lot of that is bang, bang plays, and those are the plays that they're trying to get rid of, right? And I think that's what frustrates us as fans. But the more frustrating part is that when you have a player that is intentionally out there trying to hurt players and doing so in a dirty way and aiming for the head like he did with Antonio Brown on Sunday, that's the stuff the NFL should be coming down hardest on. And so it's just frustrating to me that the NFL is not going to come down harder on Burfict for that hit, because that's the kind of thing that has to be removed from the game. And Burfict's the kind of player who has been doing this time and time again. You know, we talk about this being a dirty game and you know, the hits and all of that. And a lot of that comes from Burfict, right? I mean, a lot of that comes from Vontaze Burfict himself. And for the NFL to not do anything about this, it's just silly. I hope the NFL reconsiders this. And hopefully later on this week, we are talking about a Vontaze Burfict suspension. Because again, that hit is completely unnecessary. It's dirty. It has no part in this game. And it is so reminiscent of the one that kept Antonio Brown out of that playoff game against the Denver Broncos 3 years ago. Vontaze Burfict absolutely should be suspended for that hit. Before we continue, I want to let you guys know about Blue Chew. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready when the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So, I mean, this is the best part. You go online to their website, you're going to get prescribed online via chat. Then there's no doctor visit, there's no pharmacy, there's no awkwardness whatsoever. And again, it's going to get shipped to your door in a discreet package. And because it's made in the USA and they prepare and ship directly, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, a special deal for listeners of this podcast, visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. You just pay $5 shipping. Again, BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. And then finally today, I want to talk about a conversation that I know a lot of you are already having, and I want to bring it up here on Locked On Steelers. Are the Steelers back? You know, the Steelers 2 weeks ago, after being beaten by the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football, and that was they were beaten soundly in that football game, both offensively and defensively. It felt like this team was very close to being dead and buried, especially considering the opponents that they had left on their schedule. Going up against Atlanta the very next week, a high-powered offense felt like was going to be able to easily take advantage of a poor Steeler defense, and then having to go to Cincinnati, a game that was going to be very physical. Again, Cincinnati playing so well and wanting revenge so badly on a Steeler team that has beaten them so many times. Felt like there's no way the Steelers can get out of both those games with wins and get into the bye week at 3-2-1, which is where they needed to be. And yet here we are. The Steelers soundly beat the Atlanta Falcons, dominate that football game, and then go into Cincinnati. It didn't dominate the Bengals, but certainly, you know, controlled that football game for a large part of it. The Bengals came back and took a lead late, but the Steelers ultimately came out victorious. You know, are the Steelers back? That is certainly the conversation in Pittsburgh. I had a chance to this morning. I was, watching First Take for whatever reason. I never watch First Take, but for whatever reason, I turned it on and they were talking about the Steelers. In fact, they were talking about this very subject, and Stephen A. gave his take on, are the Steelers back? Here's Stephen A.
Want me to tell you the biggest reason why I can't say they're back yet? Because it was against the Bengals. It doesn't matter. Listen, let me explain.
Stephen A., Bengals are good.
Let me go there. Dunlap, Atkins, Johnston, Burfict, and the crew, they were all there. Not one single sack against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That does not happen to Cincinnati, but it happened against the Steelers. How you going to let Big Ben Roethlisberger pass for 369 yards, throw how many passes did he throw yesterday? 46 times he threw passes. 46 times, 369 yards, and you don't get one single sack on him the entire afternoon. When does that happen? I mean, even when Ben throws for 400 yards, he getting hit by somebody. He was standing back there yesterday. That was not the case. Why? Because it's the Bengals. When they go against the Steelers, you know, that's their kryptonite. This is some of the stuff that the announcers were talking about. They perform at a high level, but when they go against the Steelers, the mistakes that they customarily never make, somehow, some way, they do them against the Steelers.
So are the wins against Atlanta and Cincinnati impressive enough to believe that this team is back, considering where they were, again, 2 weeks ago, right? Now, to Stephen A's point there about the Bengals kind of having this kryptonite and playing out of character and all that, you know, his point about the, you know, getting no pressure on Ben and all of that, and that's why they were out of character, look, that had much more to do with the offensive line of the Pittsburgh Steelers than it did the play of the Cincinnati Bengals. The Steelers' offensive line was great. They've been great for years, and they played terrifically in this one. As I said, physicality was such a big part of this football game on Sunday, and the Steelers were the more physical team. It wasn't just the offensive line. It was Vance McDonald. It was Juju. It was James Conner, right? I mean, you know, again, that was a large part why the Bengals didn't get any pressure, not because, you know, they played out of character or anything like that. But to expand on the point that he had, you know, to make a better point than he did, I guess, you know, the Bengals, did they play out of character at times? Yes. I will argue, yes, they did. There were times offensively where the ball hit a Bengals receiver in the chest and they just dropped it. And it was very strange to watch because, again, this is a secondary that you can take advantage of. And the Bengals did at times, but there were also times when they shot themselves in the foot. And that is the kind of thing that the Bengals do against the Steelers that you don't normally see. But I will say this. I don't believe that that's the reason why the Bengals lost this football game. In fact, if you look at the last two possessions of the game, the Bengals going right down the field methodically, down the field, scoring a game. It wasn't even a tying touchdown. It was the potential game-winning touchdown. And the Steelers going back and doing the very same thing. Those were two teams playing at their peak, and neither side was kind of playing down or the moment was too big for them. You know, there was a moment during that last drive where I hoped that Andy Dalton would go back to being the Andy Dalton that we all know and throw a weird pick or, you know, again, start throwing inaccurate passes and just, you know, the Steelers would win the football game just by the sheer ineptitude of Andy Dalton. But that didn't happen. In fact, Andy Dalton was perfect on that last drive. As I said yesterday, the Bengals faced one third down on that drive. They converted. They faced zero fourth downs on that drive. They were so efficient down the football field. And again, it's frustrating to watch a Steeler defense give that up, but don't tell me that the Bengals weren't playing well in that moment. They absolutely were. Now, defensively, did they play well on that last drive? Of course not. They had the defensive holding call, which, by the way, it was defensive holding. And then, you know, they allowed Juju in open space, which is silly. And then they had a ridiculous cover zero call. You know, again, I don't know what they were thinking trying to bring that much pressure against, you know, with all the talent on the Steelers. But hey, you know, that's the decisions that they made. But don't tell me that the Bengals lost that football game because they're the Bengals and this is what they do. Again, they were playing very well down the stretch. Did they have some Bengal-like moments in that game? Absolutely, yes. But don't give me that crap about, you know, this is just the Bengals, this is what they do, and that's why they lost the football game. I don't buy that for a second. This was two teams playing very well down the stretch, and the Steelers, you know, just happened to have the ball last, essentially, in this football game. So, you know, to the point of, are the Steelers back? Yeah, the win against Atlanta, as I said at the time, I had this nagging feeling coming out of that one. Boy, is this more about what Atlanta didn't do than what the Steelers did do. But watching this defense then go up against A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd, you know, the Bengals were not able to attack down the field. So all the things, all the impressive parts that we saw against the Atlanta Falcons, they were on display again defensively against Cincinnati. It wasn't a perfect defensive performance, but again, they seem to have shored up some of those things as far as communication in the secondary. Offensively, the running game and again, making the offense flow through James Conner wasn't as effective against Cincinnati. But the things we saw against Atlanta, we saw again against the Cincinnati Bengals. And that's the kind of thing that does make me believe that this team might just be back. They got a long way to go. Right? We've got a long second half of the season here. We've got a you know, your who's who of AFC contenders coming up. You've got a couple good teams in the NFC coming up as well. You know, the Steelers are going to face the Ravens on the road coming right out of the bye week after that game against Cleveland. They've got Carolina. They've got Jacksonville. They've got New England coming up. They've got the Chargers coming up. They'll have the Saints as well. The Steelers schedule, you know, again, are they back? That question is going to be answered many, many times throughout the second half of the season. At this point, I will say probably, yeah, this team is back because, again, the team that we expected to see going into the year, a defense that was bad but not terrible, that's what we've seen for the past couple weeks. An offense that seems like it could, you know, it can score a touchdown on every drive and again, has so many playmakers. It's a pick-your-poison type of offense. That's the offense that we've seen for the past couple weeks, and that's what makes me believe, yes, the Steelers are back, but they have a lot of proving to do over the next course of the season. Yeah, again, as I said, they have a tough road. So we can argue about this over the next 2 weeks, but the point here is they're going to have to answer it on the football field because they're going to be facing playoff team after playoff team coming up here in the second half of the year. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.